You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Subscribe to AstroCast.
Joined by Justin Verlander,
Lance McCullers,
Michael Brantley,
tons of interviews,
Alex Bregman,
Carlos Correa.
Follow your favorite team.
We definitely love playing in front of our fans at Minute Maid.
For the H. AstroCast is poured for you by Carmack Brewing.
Welcome back, Robert Ford, joined by Astros General Manager James Click before the Astros wrap up this series with the Seattle Mariners. And when your team scores 27 runs in two games, that makes you look like a really smart GM, doesn't it?
It makes it look like we have a really good lineup.
Yeah.
It obviously is a relief to score and to score early. It just unlocks some potential late in the game to either get some guys some work that they want to get, or just to give everybody an off day when they need a little bit of a break.
Right.
And obviously on the flip side, you know, this is a Mariners team that was coming in here having strained their bullpen a little bit in their past series or two. So we knew that they were a little thin out there. And so the sort of the ripple effects of getting into that bullpen early in the first game and then again yesterday. And that can have ripple effects throughout the series. So certainly important. I don't think it makes me look particularly smart. This is this is a very, very good lineup that we have. And they certainly have the potential to do this. And it's fun to watch.
And also great to see guys like Jacob Wilson, his first multi-hit game, his first hits with the Astros contributing. Taylor Jones, a single shy of the cycle. Jake Myers continues to perform well. So you're seeing, you know, it's not just the Altuves and the Correas, although they certainly have swung the bats well lately as well, but to see some other guys contributing also.
Yeah, no question. If you're going to score that many runs, it has to be a complete team effort, even including Chaz McCormick getting a hit on a Friday night. And I saw him, he looked pretty excited, and I realized he was the last guy without a hit. And so he just didn't want to get left out in the cold on that one. So, anytime you're going to have an offensive output like that, it's going to be a total team effort. And it's great to see those guys step up, because now that we're through the trade deadline, there's no more trade waivers. We're very limited in terms of reinforcements that we can bring in. And so we are going to rely on the guys that are here, and seeing those guys step up in big league games and in important games for us here in August in the division against a team that's been performing very well this year. These are big performances.
And just to clarify, I'm pretty sure this is still the same, but I'm going to double check here. So a player has to be in your organization by the end of August in order to be eligible for the postseason roster. So that does leave the possibility, if guys get released from other organizations, where you could sign them prior to August 31st and they could be available. Of course, a lot of times those guys getting released for a reason, but I'd imagine that's an area you guys are looking at if maybe there could be an upgrade or two.
Yeah, absolutely. We keep a very close eye on the waiver wire, which is very busy this time of year. There's a lot of players getting designated, a lot of players getting released. Sometimes it's players that teams might have wanted to trade before the deadline but couldn't get a market going, and they maybe the team's out of contention and they just want to create some playing time for some of their young guys that are coming up. So it's not necessarily that these guys are underperforming or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, we do keep a very close eye on the waiver wire, and there are occasionally some interesting names that come across there.
Well, we got some good news on Friday with Alex Bregman resuming a minor league rehab assignment with Sugarland. So two hits, including a home run on Friday, seven innings, slated to play today for Sugarland. You guys have to be pretty encouraged that he's back on the field after getting shut down for a little bit.
Yeah. And the most encouraging thing is that he's out there and he's running the bases. And, you know, you bring up the he had a leadoff single, he had the home run. But one of the most important things that I saw in the game was he got hit by a pitch in one of his other at-bats, and then Robel Garcia hit a double and he was able to go first to third. Those are the kind of things that we're really looking for, is that the reaction, the burst, the quick acceleration. If he can do those kind of things, if he can go first to third, those are the things that indicate to us that this injury is fully behind him. And so it's been frustrating for him. It's been frustrating for us. I'm sure it's been frustrating for all the fans out there how long this has taken. But with injuries to muscles large muscles, especially large leg muscles, sometimes the best course of action is just to let the body heal itself. And sometimes the best way to do that is not to go out and play in as many rehab games as possible. And so I give our sports medicine guys and our strength and conditioning guys and our trainers a lot of credit for coming up with this plan to get him fully back out on the field. Because when Alex Bregman is out there, he is going to play at 110%.
Right.
He's just one of those guys that he's going to go get it all the time. And so we need to make sure that this thing is absolutely 110% behind him so that he can come out here and play at the MVP level that he's accustomed to playing at.
If all goes well into this homestand, is that realistic? Is that too optimistic for Bregman?
It's something that we are actively talking about. Uh-huh. So we'll see how today goes. He's slated to go out to Sugarland again tomorrow. If we can get through the back-to-backs of today and tomorrow, we'll see how he feels and have a conversation and kind of see where we're at. So I'm always hesitant to put a timeline on these things because, you know, if he goes 0-4 or 0-5 today and doesn't get on the bases, you know, that reduces our ability to see how he's running and things like that. So there's all of these factors that go into it. It's a very fluid situation, but, you know, we're hoping that he's back very soon.
Jose Urquidy pitched Thursday in the Florida Complex League, which used to be known as the Gulf Coast League for us old timers, going to Sugarland now. I know he threw a bullpen. So starting for Sugarland here, in, I'd imagine, in the next few days?
Yeah, I believe it's Tuesday.
Okay.
Is his day to go. And so we'll see him out there. He's looked very, very good in the complex league so far. The velocity, the movement, everything's there. Most importantly, he feels good. He doesn't feel anything back there. He feels totally normal. He threw three innings the other day and then actually went out to the bullpen and threw another 15 pitches or so
okay,
just
good.
To get his bulk and his innings underneath him. So he's rushing his way back, and he's looking very, very good. We're excited to have him back.
So with Urquidy, because in theory, you know, he gets another start, maybe goes five or six innings, something like that, then potentially the big leagues after that, or would you prefer to wait until you get two more spots on the roster and it's a 28-man roster in September?
I mean, every time we start talking about this kind of stuff is when the roster decision gets made for us.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So we're focused on Tuesday. Let's get him through Tuesday, see how he does Tuesday. And if history is any example, something will happen in between now and then that will, you know, create the opportunity. But he's a big part of this team. We know what a performer he is. We're not going to be gimmicky about, you know, waiting to get guys back.
All right, we'll have more of the Astros general manager, James Click, right after this. Young Astros fans, it's never too early to show off your Astros pride. With the season in full swing, be a part of the official Astros Kids Club today.
Kids 12 and under can join the Astros Buddies Club and receive a Buddies backpack, cap, socks, and access to exclusive events and activities throughout the year.
All for only $25. What's even better, it will get shipped right to your door. For more information and to purchase your Astros Buddies membership,
visit astros.com/buddies today.
Welcome back. Once again, joined by Astros general manager James Click before the Astros wrap up this series against the Seattle Mariners. And, you know, we were talking just before the break about Jose Urquidy. And again, you know, you always got to be careful with thinking too far ahead, especially when you think about pitching. But, you know, I look at the stretch that the Astros have in September of 17 straight days. Without an off day, and I know you've been trying to limit some guys' innings. We've definitely seen that. It's been pretty clear with Luis Garcia, for instance. Is that a situation where, depending on how things go, when you get to that 17 games and 17-day stretch, where in a perfect world, you may be a six-man rotation there again? We saw the Astros do it, a 19 games and 19-day stretch?
Yeah, all of these things, all possibilities are on the table.
Yeah.
And that is going to be a tough stretch, especially in September, especially you're talking about games, you know, 145 through, you know, 160 or not quite that, obviously. But,
yeah.
You know, we are so far beyond where we were last year and so far beyond where these guys were last year that we are going to have constant conversations, constant observations with our pitching coaches, our trainers, our strength guys, our sports performance and medicine group. Like, all of these people are going to get together to figure out the best way to get the top performance out of these guys while also making sure that we keep them healthy.
Rafael Montero has the lat injury. I know he got a second opinion. Anything new on that, or what's next for him at this point?
No, right now, unfortunately, the best thing to do is just not to throw a baseball for a while and just let everything calm down in there. So we'll see how that goes over the next couple weeks and, you know, see where he comes out on the other side of that. He was throwing the ball exceptionally well. He was doing all the things that we have seen him do in the past. Obviously, the ERA wasn't where he wanted it to be after his experience in Seattle, but you know, with his stuff, with his command, we think he has the ability to get big outs in big spots.
Andre Scrubb's been on the IL since mid-July with a shoulder injury as well, and now on the 60-day IL, so the soonest could see him potentially would be latter part of September. Anything new on Andre Scrubb, and could we see him this year?
Nothing new. He is in Florida, you know, continuing to get his work in. We're going to get him off a mound here pretty soon. He's feeling good. But the decision to put him on the 60-day was just looking at his calendar. I think the date is September 16th or something like that. And so there are a good 3 weeks of the season left after that point. So we'll see. But the main focus right now is just getting him back on the mound and getting him healthy.
So you had a couple of catchers who suffered some injuries this past week. Corey Lee, of course, a top prospect, first-round pick, an oblique injury. Anything new on Corey Lee? And do you guys have an idea of when he might be back?
It was just a minor thing in the batting cage, and initially was read as a day-to-day, and just after a couple of days, we decided for roster reasons to go ahead and put him on the IL and just get that whole thing behind us. But that one's very, very minor. And then obviously Stubbs, you know, has a little bit of an ankle sprain. We're also hoping that that's only in like the 7 to 10 day range.
And so it's now Stubbs, I noticed, at least from what I was able to tell looking online, he's not officially on the IL down at AAA. I mean, maybe it reads differently online than what actually is the case, because I know the rosters are a little different now in the minors, right? You don't necessarily have to put guys in the IL. There are more spots, right?
Yeah, exactly. They added development lists, and they expanded the rosters at the minors, and obviously with the reorganization of the minors to reduce travel, all these things are designed to reduce guys going from AA to AAA just to cover for injuries or vice versa. And so there's not the same urgency to put guys on the IL officially, because it doesn't necessarily give you the roster flexibility that you used to need in the past. You know, My read on his injury was just from the trainer's report. And so whether he's on the IL or not is not really an indication of the severity of the injury.
How do you think things have gone this year in the minor leagues? I mean, you know, obviously it's going to be a little different this year because they didn't start till May, and they're going to the end of September, usually over Labor Day weekend. Obviously a lot of challenges, especially just getting off the ground. But all in all, how do you think things have gone in terms of just some of the logistical stuff at the minor leagues and just some of the unique challenges this year has posed?
Yeah, we need to find all the wood that we can to knock on before I say anything about it, because there are quite a few teams out there that are dealing with a lot of issues, you know, in terms of testing or contact tracing and things like that. I'll give our group a lot of credit in terms of their thinking through the logistics of it, in terms of how do we keep the players safe? How do we keep them, you know, on the field as much as possible? We were very worried about postponements and game cancellations if there were results or outbreaks or things like that. And then beyond that, these six-game series that every league is going through, right? Where they all have the same off day every week, and then they go play a six-game series. I had some concerns about it because, you know, by game five or game six of seeing another team, sometimes, you know, tempers can get a little hot,
sure,
or, you know, things can come to the surface. But by and large, everybody that I've talked to when I've been down there in the minor leagues has been really, really happy with it. I think they're really happy with the back-to-backs at home, where they get 2 weeks at home without having to worry about anything. You know, as on the flip side, Corpus Christi is on the road for three out of the final 4 weeks of the season. So, you know, there's give and take. But the reduction of travel, the reduction of distance of travel, and the reduction of frequency of travel, I think, has had a tremendously positive effect on our organization.
All right, James Click, Astros General Manager, thanks so much for joining us.
Happy to be here.
We'll be back with more of Astro Launch right after this.
Gear up for the 2021 Houston Astros season by stopping by the Astros team store in Union Station. Pick up your favorite player jersey, some t-shirts, or even a polo while shopping from a wide selection of both new and retro Astros hats. The Astros team store has all the great brands, from Nike and Columbia to 47 brand and New Era. Stop by Monday through Saturday for the latest Astros merchandise, or call in an order for stadium side pickup. Visit Astros.com/teamstore for more information.
Welcome back to Astro Launch. This is Steve Sparks with Troy Snitker, the Astros hitting coach. Every Saturday we get a chance to talk to one of the Astros coaches. And Troy, pretty good day yesterday. You got to feel pretty good about double digits in the run score department. Feeling good about this offense right now?
Well, we feel a lot better after yesterday. that's for sure.
Are you a front runner? I mean, coaches, I mean, do you guys ride that wave along with the fans?
I don't know. I can't speak for the fans. I don't know how the fans are feeling, but we definitely ride it with the players. When the guys are struggling, man, we feel it too.
Yeah, so, I'm sure.
You know, you feel that. You know, you get excited when the guys do well, and when they struggle, you're in there with them. And
when you go to bed at night, you know, if you got a guy that you work with specifically, and he's struggling, how much are you lying in bed at night trying to think of ways to maybe a drill or something to get him out of a bad habit?
A lot, probably far too often. I think I could speak for AC as well, where sometimes it's the last thing you think of when you go to bed, and it's the first thing you think of when you wake up.
When did you know that you wanted to be a coach? I know your dad's the manager for the Atlanta Braves. You've been around it forever. But after your playing career, you played in the minors for a few years. Did you know you wanted to get into it right away?
I think I knew that I was probably going to have to get into it.
That's all you knew, right?
I think I had seen enough of the game at a high level to know that it was probably not going to work out. I think I started planning way ahead of when most players would think of the next step.
Okay, so here's the question. So I was talking to Mike Matheny about this the other day. He's the manager for Kansas City. His son is in AAA, getting close to maybe the end of his playing career. If he doesn't get a call up, he's pretty close, right? You know that in the minor leagues, the pay's not great. The lifestyle's a little different. And you know, like, if you're going to go coach and you're going to go to the minor leagues, you're going to live a different lifestyle than what you may have hoped for when you were in college. How much does that play into what you're thinking about?
Well, I think people that coach, they don't, they're not doing it for the lifestyle or the money or anything like that. I think most of the time you see the guys that end up coaching are the guys that, you know, as a player, they love the game. They love the work that goes into it. They like, not that you like the ups and downs, but it's very rewarding both as a player and as a coach, you know, when something doesn't go well and then you put the work in and see different results at the end of the tunnel. So as far as like, you know, the lifestyle as a minor league player is obviously a little tough at times, doable, but still not making a lot of money, but it's not exactly life changing when you start coaching either.
Right.
So, you know, whether you play for a while, or you get into coaching, it's the focus is more on the love for what you're doing.
Talking with Astros hitting coach Troy Snicker, how soon after you started coaching did you realize, oh my gosh, I mean, I wish I would have known that when I was playing? Did that happen pretty quickly?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially with the Astros. I think it was the organization was far different than how I was brought up in the game. You know, I was lucky to get in with somebody who was incredibly intelligent about hitting, about coaching, and Jeff Albert, who's in St. Louis now, kind of introduced me to a different mindset of thinking about hitting, thinking about the swing, thinking about coaching in general. So I think it was awesome to get that something different right off the bat.
When you're looking at something different, you don't want to be a cookie cutter type of coach because everybody's swing's different, everybody has a different body type and different attributes. When you look at a swing, where does it start for you? What are the absolutes where somebody has to do this? They can get away with doing these other things, but they have to do what?
Yeah, first to answer your question, it's you look at everybody different, and I think how they move their body types kind of puts them, you know, generally starts pushing you into a category of, you know, how the swing should look or maybe what they're capable of doing. But, the general basics of hitting in general, you know, how does the bat move? Is the bat moving in a way that gives a hitter a chance to make a lot of contact? Is it in the zone? You know, how does it get into the zone? Is it in the zone a long time? Regardless of how somebody, you know, what somebody looks like, how they move in their swing. You know, is the bat giving them a chance? I think that's one of the biggest absolutes. Is does their bat path give them a chance to make contact with a lot of pitches and produce a lot of line drives? I think that's probably the biggest thing. You know, there's guys that can move a lot of different ways, but you know, it all comes down to, you know, the bat has to be in a certain spot to hit the ball. And then after that, you know, it's more the absolutes of strike zone management, you know, how you're controlling the zone, which pitches you're swinging at. The best hitters in the game become the worst when they start swinging outside that box. Mm. So, you know, I would say those two things are the biggest absolutes in the game. Not a lot of guys do well when they're swinging outside the strike zone, and not a lot of guys do well when, you know, when the bat's moving in a bunch of different directions or, you know, just clipping or cutting the zone.
Mike Trout's dad, who was a former minor leaguer, has talked about and laughed about when he used to throw batting practice to Mike when he was a kid, he would never expand the strike zone. And it used to frustrate his dad because he was sweating bullets because he's having to throw so much. But if it wasn't over the plate, Mike would not swing the bat. And he used to frustrate his dad, but now he looks back and says, I don't know where that came from. It was just innate. How do you guys practice that?
It's something that's hard to practice because you can't replicate the game.
The speed.
Doesn't matter if you have a machine, you know, doesn't matter how hard you have the machine thrown. Doesn't matter, you know, if we're doing mixed pitch in the cage, which we still do, mm-hmm. but nothing can replicate the game when a real pitcher's 60 feet, 6 inches away, throwing everything.
And the motions and the adrenaline and all that.
Yeah, and you can't replicate the emotions of the game. You can't replicate that feeling, no matter how hard you try. So, it's more about kind of a, you know, a trial and error of, you know, which pitches am I looking for, maybe what area of the plate am I looking for. Where am I looking for the ball to come out? So I think it's more, you know, a trial by error approach, you know, in the game. Every hitter has to see what type of approach works for them, what they need to look for to shrink the zone and swing at strikes. You know, I think you give a hitter more confidence in a swing, he's gonna feel more confident in the box. He's going to swing at better pitches. So there's a few ways we can try to improve it. You know, you give a guy more time in his swing where his swing's more efficient. He has more time to see the ball and make better decisions. So for some guys, it's approach. For some guys, it's tightening up the swing. But there's no way of doing it without just seeing pitches, seeing reps.
But that confidence, too, allows you to relax and slow it down, right?
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay, Jake Myers.
If you're not thinking about the swing in the game, you're gonna see the ball a lot better.
Jake Myers, unbelievable week. Started with a week ago today, two homers, including that grand slam, but kind of a whirlwind week that he'll probably never forget. But compared to when you first saw Jake Myers to spring training this year to Jake Myers right now, where have you seen the most improvement?
I think just in his confidence and in the way he's approaching the game and the mental side of the game. Okay. I think is the biggest thing. He had a lot of success in the minor leagues this year, you know, in Sugar Land, doing things a certain way. I think he's just more sure of himself and more confident in his swing, his preparation, you know, his routine. And you know, one thing that I see now that, you know, was different in spring is that he has a very specific plan for every at bat. And I think that's the biggest difference overall. I think we've always liked his swing. I don't think it's changed a ton. I think it's more him being confident in it and having a good idea of what he's doing at the plate.
Whenever you go over a scouting report with a specific pitcher, this is the last question for Troy Snitker. Logan Gilbert's pitching for Seattle today. Mm-hmm. And not to give anything away, but when you're giving a scouting report, and we know Logan Gilbert throws very hard, does it stop and start almost with being on time with the fastball when you're giving a scouting report, or is it different for everybody because of their strengths?
I think overall it's different for everybody with their strengths and how we think they're going to pitch a certain guy. But I don't think it's any secret with Logan, you know, what you have to do to be successful against him. You, just like what you said, you're going to have to hit his heater. You know, he's throws hard, mid upper 90s. It gets on you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of the damage comes off the heater. So I don't think it's, like you said, it's not any secret that to beat him, he's going to make you hit his fastball.
Last thing, real quick. Sorry about this, Troy.
Oh, you're good.
To be on time for the fastball, the front foot needs to get down when?
We don't look at it as when it gets down.
Okay.
We generally like to look at when are guys starting their moves.
Okay.
So, you know, for a guy's A swing, you know, we know that their, you know, their load needs to happen at a certain point in the pitcher's delivery.
Gotcha.
And that may change a little bit depending on who you're facing. If guys have faster deliveries or, maybe they're quick out of the stretch, have a quick step, slide step. But we're looking at more when they're starting, not so much as when they're down.
And when you say starting, are you talking about the separation, about as far as just getting your body moving?
Kind of when do you start your moves? At what point in the pitcher's delivery? Is it handbrake? Is it a certain point of his leg lift? And then, you know, we're looking at, you know, when the ball's released, the hitter should be somewhere on the way down out of the air.
Okay.
So that's something we'll go to a lot of times. When he's releasing the ball, is the hitter on the way down with their front leg? Because you're going to make the decision with the ball in the air and probably your leg in the air as well.
That's crazy. So,
yeah.
That's crazy. All right. That's Troy Snitker. A lot of great stuff. I appreciate your time. Doing a great job, man. Keep up the great work.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
The Astros with 4 runs in the third, highlighted by the 3-run homer by Yordan Alvarez. And here's a blast. Left field. There it goes. 6-0 Astros on Jones' second home run. Wow, did he light into that one.
Joined now in the Astros dugout by Taylor Jones. Drove in 4 runs today, a homer, a double, and a 2-run triple. And there's only one thing missing for you today, Taylor. The single, you came up your last at bat with a chance for the cycle. Were you thinking about it?
I'd be lying if I said it wasn't in the back of my mind. But I was just trying to, you know, get something, be aggressive, and try to find something. Luckily, I was seeing the ball well today. Everybody was having a good day at the plate, and, you know, hitting's contagious.
Hey, you got aggressive in left field early in the ball game, gunning down Seager at home plate. How thrilling was that to be in left field and to show off your arm?
I'm just glad I could be out there and contribute and make plays when they need to be made.
So you are from the Seattle area. You grew up a Mariners fan. This has to be pretty neat for you. I'm sure your phone's probably blowing up. Your friends and family back home were able to watch this game and see your performance today.
Yeah, I'm sure. It's always fun to do it against the home team. I know my parents are watching, so that's always exciting, and great day.
Absolutely, a great day for you. Taylor Jones, congrats, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
The 1-2. And that's hit in the air, pretty deep to center field. Going back is Kelnick at the wall. He leaps, and that ball is gone. A 2-run home run for Jake Myers. And the Astros have opened up a 4-0 lead. Myers with his third. In the second inning, your first home run at home, and that certainly had to feel good.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was great to hear the crowd after it went over the fence. I mean, that's a a moment I'll remember forever. Yeah, first home run at home, and this crowd is unbelievable, and it was fun to do it in front of them.
Jake, last Saturday, the two-homer game, including that grand slam, but getting to go to Kansas City, where a lot of your family and friends got to see you, how special was that for you?
Oh, man, it was awesome. I had a lot of family and friends out there last, you know, couple games, and it was really fun to see them and play in a stadium I'd been to, you know, to watch a game. It was really special.
And, I mean, you don't generally have games like – I mean, you'll have a handful of games like this over the course of a season, right? But how much fun are games like this when everybody up and down the lineup contributes and you guys are able to put a lot of runs on the board early?
Yeah, man. That just goes to show our lineup. I mean, we have a lot of great players on our team, and it was just really, really fun to see, you know, everyone swing it really well, and I think we're going to keep it going.
All right, Jake Myers, thanks for joining us. Congrats on the good game and on the win.
All right, thank you, guys.
Subscribe to AstroCast.
Joined by Justin Verlander.
Lance McCullers.
Michael Brantley.
Tons of interviews.
Alex Bregman.
Carlos Correa.
Follow your favorite team.
We definitely love playing in front of our fans at Minute Maid.
For the H. Woo-hoo-hoo! AstroCast is poured for you by Carbach Brewing.